Margaret asked me to read this story. But she asked me to read Thomas Bernhard's Woodcutters. It has a saying from Voltaire. It begins it, being unable to make people more reasonable, I prefer to be happy away from them. So, while everyone was waiting for the actor, who had promised to join the dinner party in the Gänsegasse after the premiere of The Wild Duck, I observed the Auersbergers carefully from the same wing chair I had sat in nearly every day during the 50s, reflecting that it had been a grave mistake to accept their invitation. I hadn't seen the couple for 20 years, and then on the very day that our mutual friend Ioana had died, I had met them by chance in the Kaban, and without further ado, I accepted their invitation to this Künstlerische Abend, this artistic dinner, as they described the supper they were giving. For 20 years, I hadn't wanted to know anything about the Auersbergers. For 20 years, I hadn't even seen the Auersbergers. And in these 20 years, the very mention of the name Auersberger had brought on third-degree nausea, I thought, sitting in this wing chair. And now this couple is bringing me face to face once more with the life we led in the 50s. For 20 years, I've avoided the Auersbergers. For 20 years, I haven't even met them. And then I have to run into them in the Traben. I thought it had been a monumental piece of folly not only to go to the Kaban in the first place, but to walk up and down the Kaban several times, as I was in the habit of doing, at least since returning to Vienna from London. It was a street where I might have known I would be sure to meet the Auersbergers one day. And not only the Auersbergers, but all the other people I'd have been avoiding for the last 20 or 30 years, people with whom I had close ties in the 50s. What the Auersbergers used to call those close artistic ties, ties which I had severed a quarter of a century ago when I got away from the Auersbergers in this place and went to London, breaking, as they say, with all my Viennese acquaintances of that period, not wanting to see them again and have anything more to do with them. Going for a walk in the Kaban, I thought, as I sat in the swing chair, means nothing more or less than walking straight into the social hell of Vienna and meeting the very people I have no wish to meet, people whose sudden appearance brings on all kinds of physical and mental strains. Hence, in recent years, whenever I came over from London to Vienna, I had chosen different routes for my walks, avoiding not only the Kaban, but also the Kohlmarkt and, of course, the Kärntnerstraße. I had also avoided the Spiegelgasse, the Stahlburgergasse, the Dorotheergasse too, and not to mention the dreaded Wolzeiler and Operngasse, where I have so often been trapped by the very people I most detest. But in recent weeks, I reflected as I sat in my wing chair. I had suddenly felt an urgent need to go to the Kaban and the Kärntnerstraße, because the air there was healthy. And because I suddenly found it pleasant to mingle with the morning crowds, both in the Kaban and in the Kärntnerstraße. And no doubt also because I wanted to escape from the months of solitude in my Währing apartment, to get away from the isolation that had begun to deaden my brain. In recent weeks, I had always found it relaxing, both mentally and physically, to walk along the Kärntnerstraße in the Kaban, and then back along the Kaban in the Kärntnerstraße. Walking back and forth like this was beneficial to my mind as it was to my body, and in recent weeks I had walked up the Kärntnerstraße in the Kaban and back every single day, as though there were nothing I needed so much as to walk up and down the Kaban and the Kärntnerstraße. It was in the Kärntnerstraße and the Kaban that I suddenly recovered my vitality and became myself again after months of what I can only describe as mental and physical debility. Walking along the Kärntnerstraße and the Kaban and back, I felt refreshed. All I need to do is to walk up and down like this, I would think to myself. Though that was not all I needed, just to walk up and down, I kept on telling myself. And in fact, it did enable me to start thinking again, even to philosophize, to take an interest once more in philosophy and literature, which had for so long been suppressed, even killed within me. It was a mistake, as I now realize, to spend the winter in Vienna and not, like previous winters, in London, I thought, sitting in the wing chair. It was this long, sickening winter that killed off everything literary and philosophical there was inside me. And now I've made it all come back by walking up and down the Graben and the Gärtnerstrasse. And I actually attributed my Viennese mental condition, my restored mental condition, as I now felt able to recall it, to the therapy I had first prescribed for myself in the middle of January, this Graben and Gärtnerstrasse therapy. This dreadful city of Vienna, I thought, having plunged me yet again into profound despair and utter hopelessness, has suddenly become the motor that enables my mind to function again as a living mind. And my body is a living body. Day by day, I observed the progressive revival of mind and body, of everything inside me that had been dead during the whole of the winter. Having blamed Vienna throughout the winter for my mental and physical atrophy, it was to Vienna that I now owed my restored vitality. I sat in a wing chair and silently paid tribute to the Gärtnerstrasse and the Graben, ascribing my mental and physical recovery solely to the Gärtnerstrasse and Graben therapy. And I told myself that I had naturally to pay a price for this therapy, and meeting the Augsburgs in the Graben, I thought, was the price of its success. It's a very high price, I thought, but it could have been much higher. After all, I could have met much worse people in the Graben. For the Augsburgers aren't the worst people in the world. Well, at least not the very worst. All the same, it's bad enough to have met the Augsburgers in the Graben, I thought, sitting in the wing chair. A strong person with their strength of character to match would have declined their invitation, I thought, but I'm not so strong. I have no strength of character. On the contrary, I'm the very weakest person with the very weakest character, and that's what makes me more or less everyone's victim. And again, I reflected that it had been a grave mistake to accept this couple's invitation. Having resolved to have nothing more to do with them for the rest of my life, I crossed the Graben only to be accosted by them. They asked me whether I've heard about Joanna's death, about her hanging herself, and then I go and accept their invitation. I momentarily gave way to the most shameful sentimentality, I thought, and the Augsburgers immediately took advantage of it. They took advantage of the suicide of our mutual friend Joanna, I thought, to issue their invitation, which I had once accepted, though it would have been wiser to turn it down. But I didn't have the time, I thought, sitting in the swing chair. They came up on me from behind. And they told me what I already knew, that Joanna had hanged herself and killed at her parents' home. And then they invited me to this dinner, this Kundlisch Abend, this very artistic dinner, they stressed, all our friends from the old days. They'd actually begun to walk on ahead of me when they issued their invitations, I thought. And they were already a few yards in front of me when I said, yes, accepting their invitation and saying that I would come to their dinner party in this hideous apartment in the Gänzgasse.
Dim the lights a bit for this. This is a very soothing piece, so I think we should.